Welcome back to Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. For our last men's team preview, I am led to believe EF Education, Easy Post, Lachlan Morton Specialist, Tour Divide, Gravel, Vibes, Pink Kits, don't release the kit until three stages into Tour Down Under, no start list, EF Vorta Specialist, that's the official team name. They changed it up. They changed it all up this year. They decided these little races, these chatty GPT generator races that were beneath Vorta's, they made them their bread and butter. Because they went to all these fucking Mickey Mouse races, in his words, not mine. And they won they won 22 of them just about. Langkawi, like, you know, Tour de l'Air. Settimana, they might have always done that. But, yeah, how's their season, Benji? But they won a lot more than usual.
Yeah, they won a lot more. 26 wins in total, but only four of those are World Tour. And I must say I'm a bit disappointed in their World Tour season for the team that they have, despite some of the riders really overperforming or breaking out. So let's get started. When it comes to Grand Tours, Giro, stage win by Magnus Cort Nielsen and Ben Healy. I completely forgot about the Magnus Cort victory. I don't even remember what stage it was. What stage did
he
win?
It was with two other riders. Poor.
That's a very vague description.
Yeah. It was very not memorable.
So, that existed, that stage. Outside of that, I don't recall the GC bit.
And DeMarkey. DeMarkey just basically said, I'm 40 years old and I still don't. I'm just going to ride you guys to the line.
Yeah, I remember now. That's true. And the thing about that is that I don't remember their Giro GC bit. I'm guessing Hugh Carthy was there in my head. But yeah. Hugh Carthy just hasn't delivered recently. So he's kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say washed because it's a bit harsh, but kind of washed at the moment.
Hopefully he's going to come back.
I hope so. Hope Hugh Carthy on watch 2024 incoming. Let's hope. But Tour de France, Carapaz was meant to be GC leader there, and he crashed out on day one together with Enric Mas, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he crashed out Enric Mas on the descent of the...
So you're blaming Carapaz?
Yep.
In the same way that I'm blaming Enao for crashing out Nibali at Rio.
Yep.
Outside of that, Carapaz came back for the Italian Classics, quick detour, and he was really
He was good.
Aifert Lombardia, maybe not the result he was hoping for, but overall he was consistent, his performance level was good, he was on point. But when it comes to the Vuelta, my only response is like, in the notes I put like a shrug emoji, because the only thing I remember is Marijn Vandenberg crashing. And outside of that, their team was completely unmemorable to me.
It's funny, isn't it? And I mentioned that in my long intro. I mentioned it for a reason because it's usually, it is the opposite of what they've done before, where sometimes you wouldn't see this team until May. And then they'd rip off two Giro wins, go to the Tour, rip off two Tour wins with Cort, with Danny Martinez back in the day, with whoever, and or go for the KOM with Paulus. And in the Vuelta, they usually do well. They do well. They won in with Uran in 22. Yeah. So it was different. The big breakout, though, it must be said, is Ben Healy. 2,000 UCI points. But more importantly, you know, he started it in Settimana, where he came third with a stage win. Then he won GP Industria in Artigianato, where it is quite a nice race, actually. Like, Bernal's done well there. It is, I think, Gebreg's going to be a second, but just quietly. And then at the Giro, before the Giro, sorry. It was Brabant. Brabant's second, Amstel second, Liège fourth. What a breakout.
That's a real breakout. Like, we knew Ben Healy was somewhat talented, but I didn't see this coming either.
Not like that.
I didn't expect him to show up and podium the Hill Classics. Second at Amstel is a really good result. Fourth at LBL is a really bloody good result. And that shows that with a bit more experience, with a bit more percentage extra maybe here or there, you might be able to get even more than that.
When he got within 20 seconds, the director went in front of Pogacar and started driving in 5 minutes in front of him.
I'm not sure that would have made the difference on the victory. I don't think Ben Healy would have won the sprint against Pogacar or dropped
him. No, because Godon, he didn't know what to do with Godon in Brabant. Yeah. They were together. Godon cooked him.
Yeah, that's true. But I agree that he was really close on actually being competitive there anyway. And I feel like outside of him, let's do the one-day races before we go to the one-week races. Nelson Powell has really stepped up when it comes to the Cobble Classics, as in, we said it before the season started, that we expected the Cobbles to be a place where Nelson Powell should have been riding races a few years ago already. It's as if he hadn't figured out what kind of rider he was because he's so versatile. But Cobble races is a race that really fits him. It's like Jorgensen showing up to the Cobble race. It's a similar scenario, I would say, and that results in third at Dwars der Vlaanderen, fifth at RVV.
We've never been more vindicated, I don't think.
Yeah, like, I agree.
The guy didn't do a one-day race until like September in 21 and 22, and we were like, what the f-? And then he'd go to Worlds, right, and be in Group 1, beating the shit out of Pogacar and everybody, and we're like, what the fuck are they doing not sending him to the Classics? And then first year he does them, he comes fifth in Tour of Flanders and third in Dwars Tour and seventh in San Remo.
Yeah.
Keyboard like, warriors vindicated.
Fourth at San Sebastian, race that he won in the past, if I recall, when who rode into a wall? Honore?
Honore, yeah.
And yeah, I set the Carapaz result. We set the Healy results. Those are the one-day results. And then in the one-week race, they had some results like Betgill winning the prologue of STDU, standard two and under. Not the most memorable, to be honest. The only thing I remember when it comes to road bike that raises his cramps. Oh yeah, road bike.
He's on the road bike. Payo Bilbao is the reason the UCI introduced that lever thing, because he did that TT with them horizontal.
That's funny.
It was
sixth at Swiss with Iran. I feel like Iran really made the step down this year.
Yeah,
and he will retire at the end of, I think, after the Olympics. First, 3rd of August or something, 2024, just after the Olympics, he will retire. Which, to be honest, Iran has had a great career. Because he was never the best. But two times second at the Giro, second at the Tour de France. I'd like to say he got the best out of his career outside of when he like put the gift of the Olympics road race into the hands of Vinokurov that day. But outside of that day, Uran took the best out of his career, I reckon.
Maybe.
Maybe he parties a bit too much, but hey, that's Uran.
He seems to have fun. He seems popular. He's got his Gran Fondo.
I repeat, most popular Colombian.
No, I think it's just incorrect. I think the Colombians, like, that's just incorrect. Like, Quintana's a religion there.
Not even just cyclists. Most popular Colombian.
Yeah. I don't.
I think if Iran runs for president, he wins.
No, I don't think so.
We gotta try, Iran. Come on, Rigo, you can
Quintana
do it.
Quintana will try, and probably will when he retires. But yeah, Powell's very good. Iran, yeah, he's. I don't know what they're paying him, but they also maybe they pay him a bit less, and he gets to sell his own kit because he wears his own kit sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah. And his movie.
His movie, so yeah, maybe he will be more popular. GC, yeah, they struggled quite a bit. And maybe that was a function of Powell's focusing on classics and Uran and Carthy taking a step down, as you said. You know, there's guys like Betiol, nice rider, but...
Yeah, but one-trick pony RVV, man.
He's been stealing a living the last, since that.
Yeah.
Like, he probably on big money.
Who is shocked that Betiol never delivered after winning RVV again?
Well, I'm a little bit shocked he's not better. Like, he's mostly horrific. Like, look at his classics this... Well, look at his classics this year. I don't know if he was sick. Yeah. He might have been sick because he DNS'd Dwars Tour. So that, to me, he DNF'd Van Wevelhem and then DNS'd Dwars Tour. That's reading to me maybe that he was sick or something because he came 15th in E3, but... he was very good in the Worlds. Like, in the Worlds, he was stomping. But in the Classics, the last 2 years, he's been... No, the last 3 years. He's been just a non-factor. and he was only good in 2020 when they were in autumn. So he comes good a little bit in autumn, it seems, but...
I think...
Yeah, he's not been returning whatever they're investing in him.
He, to me, feels like Michael Valgren all over again. 2018 delivered winning Amstel and Omloop in 1 year. And outside of those years, every now and then shows up in a top 10 or a podium, but never really lead one that big race again. And those two riders should have been competing for Grand Tour stage wins more often than they are.
Yeah, and listen, he doesn't have a big sprint on him, so, you know, it's tough to win. But yeah, you're right. Like, a rider of that class who you see making Group 1 at Worlds, you think, where is this for the rest of the year? And the EF must be thinking that too. They would have loved to see that in the pink colours. So, they, in terms of points, mid-table team, 11th, just about 900 ahead of Movistar and 1,500 behind Bora Hansgrohe. Not really at any risk of relegation at the moment. 4,000 ahead of Arkea. That's a pretty solid buffer. So whatever they've changed with their scheduling, and certainly Healy's breakout is about 25% of those points, and Paulus too, with the 1 days, they look pretty safe from that perspective, to be honest, because they're just so strong in the 1 days now with Healy, Paulus, even Carapaz is a really good 1 day rider too, and Piccolo. But then I get the feeling, Benji, and I don't have any... I get the feeling that this team doesn't actually get the most out of riders. Like, I remember when I looked at their transfers last year, and... No, maybe not last year, but... The year before, I was like, Sean Quinn, like it. Steinhauser, like it. Piccolo, great. Vandenberg, yeah, really highly touted. Eiking, Chavez, Kudus. Like, Eiking is... he doesn't have a team. Kudus doesn't have a team. Perun went to Coratec. Caicedo, who was actually decent, they didn't extend. Yeah. Vandenberg didn't kick on. Camargo, probably bad scouting in the first place. Like, a lot of these riders don't perform. Honoré came across from Quickstep, okay in one race, didn't see him for the rest of the year.
I somewhat agree, and it's weird because I can't pinpoint what it is. Because when it comes to EF, I would have expected a relatively high performance behind the scenes. But you see riders like Betiol not being consistent throughout the year, and then you start questioning that. And we've got that for multiple riders, and yes, Carapaz did come back and was delivering in the Italian Classics, but we don't know how consistent that would have been if he was at the Tour de France before that, if he could have succeeded there. So it's all these question marks. And then you think about other aspects of the team, and are they tactically one of the strongest teams? I don't vividly recall any major tactics.
Remember Basque Country?
Yeah. A perfect example,
they set
actually
up a train for Jonas, and we were sitting there like, just look at the graph. The graph says you shouldn't be doing this.
Made no sense. And the amount of lead-outs they do for Carapaz in not just Basque Country, Dauphiné pretty sure as well, just trying stuff like that. Like, yes, it's in Carapaz's heart to have that panache, to try stuff like that, but he's not him. So it ain't fucking happening. And it's not just tactics. It's the way they responded late also to the UCI thing last year, the UCI points thing. And I feel like when it comes to race schedules, I'm also not 100% on point with every single rider on this team, the way they represented that. And Paulus was also an example of that, that he only figured out this year that he can do Cobble Classic. So there are so many areas where this team can still improve.
Yeah, I think so. Because I like having a team that's a little bit different in World Tour, that's for sure. I'm glad they are points-wise safe for now, so I'm happy about that. Also, a team which gets riders of every nationality. They're not just tied to one nationality in particular or a few nationalities, and they take a few risks on riders. But, they certainly, yeah, it's just because I'm not saying... It's more just like when I see how good some like Betiol can be in one race, that's then what I don't understand. Yep. It's more like how then can he not run a top 10 anywhere else in the year?
Yep.
It's that sort of stuff for the last three years. Or Honoré. Bissiger even sometimes, but Healy was fucking good. So Healy's the guy who like bucks that trend. He and Palace were killers this year. He got that Giro stage win.
You look at Honoré and you see that he can get 22nd at Dwars of Vlaanderen, 21st at the Brabantse Pijl and so forth. To me, that's not the rider that you then send to all these other. Then he's being sent to Renewi Tour, PostNord, Denmark, to the Swiss. I don't see the point of the Swiss with Honoré personally. Like Italian classics, sorry, but Honoré is not good enough for the Italian classics.
Oh, I disagree.
I would have sent him. Oh, I don't know. I didn't see it at all this year.
He should be good at. If you can come second in San Sebastian, or third in San Sebastian, and third in Bretagne Classic, why can't you do something in Tre Valli Varesine? You
but
think
he's
it's
not
too hilly
this year?
No, but that's what I mean. Like, why not?
I think if you send them to like the small Italian classic, then yes. But Varesine and Lombardia, he's not delivering.
Yeah. And
I also think it's too, like, the competitors are too good at Varesine, Emilia, and Lombardia.
True.
Compared to Honoré, you want to fight against Albanese. You want to give him an Albanese schedule, like Matteotti, Agostoni, Bernocchi, Marco Pantani, Toscana.
Yeah, you're right.
Sabatini, those races, Tagueria, Veneto Classic.
Yeah, you're right. Like Padun, he leaves the team early, it seems, to go to Coratec. One Gran Camino TT win, nothing. So they didn't make that work either. Anyway, the transfers outgoing, we should get to them. I've already mentioned a few of them. Camargo, Vandenberg to DSM, I think that's fine. Scully, probably retiring, I would say. Wisniewski, probably, I don't know. Odd Christian Eiking, that was a strange one again. Didn't really work there. Maybe he had, I think he might have had COVID or long COVID. I might be making that up, but I feel like he had health issues. Kudus, I don't think they extended. Jens Kuklia retired. As I just mentioned, Padun's going to Coratec. And the two, I'll surprise by Caicedo, I think is actually not a bad rider in terms of getting you a Giro, you know, in the Giro, but that's fine too. But yeah, Magnus called to Uno X. I actually don't have a problem with letting him go, but he did. Yeah. He's on EF for four seasons since 2020. He won a lot of World Tour races. Paris-Nice stage, three Vuelta stages, Tour de France stage, and a Giro stage. He won all stages at all three Grand Tours there. So it is wins out the door.
Yeah, that is certain. And it's also like with every single victory that gets added, the price is going to go up a tiny bit, I reckon. So
yeah.
It's not like he's as cheap as when he won two Grand Tour stages.
I probably would let him go too. I think they did the right thing there.
I somewhat agree. And it's like Kirkelera retiring, Kudus leaving, Eiking leaving, Wisniewski leaving, Padun leaving to Coratec, which is kind of a crazy transfer in my head. Caicedo, Scully, Vandenberg, Camargo. Not a single rider on this list is irreplaceable. Mark Padun, sorry, buddy, he's completely washed.
Yeah, it's kind of it's crazy. 2 years ago, winning back-to-back mountain stages in the Dauphiné, and now he's on Coratec under 30 years old. It's crazy.
Not delivering. And then, like, yeah. We look at the incoming transfers. Valgren's back, which I'm very happy about. He had his major injury, went through the dev team of EF for his recovery. You're going to have to keep talking because I'm about to sneeze. Thanks, save me.
Oh, yeah, sorry. And then they got Rui Costa. So this is another, they got Costa, who's come in from Antimarché after like a breakout season, 1,700 UCI points at 37 years old after his 1 year at Intermarché. I think signs a 1 year at EF. Honoré, Padun, then Costa. they get him in. And, yeah, man, he won a Vuelta stage. He was flying this year, won Valenciana. They'll be hoping for points from him. Maybe they think he can win like a Grand Tour stage and replace Court's sort of annual Grand Tour stage. I don't know. But yeah, he's on a 1 year. Don't know how much they're paying him. I don't think it'll be for free, that's for sure. So he might be a little bit pricey. But the others are kind of like Valgren might be bumped down in price. The others might not be the huge amounts of money. Sweeney, established pro, not an EO pro. Sweeney coming over from Lotto Destiny. I think he kind of fits their targeting breakaway model. And I think that sort of makes sense. Archie Ryan from Jumbo Visma development team. I think that's a great signing.
How's his injury recovery?
I think it's... I don't know, actually. I think... But that was a concern because he didn't race until August. But this guy is so good. I would have probably liked to have kept him, frankly. I think he's... He already won a pro race in 2022. And I think when they're a neo pro not earning $1 million, you take that risk with the knee injury or whatever injury he had. But EF, you know, that's a risk they can, they're willing to take. And I don't think it's that big a risk at 22 years old. And I think he's a fantastic rider. Fantastic, fantastic rider. So I'm keen to see how he goes there. I think he's going to be very, very good.
Rafferty joining as well, another Irish person. Egan's Berman is what he came true, and he had some good results. Like, Rafferty was second at Giro d'Italia, if I recall correctly, behind Stone and Mitted. So the man can climb. And is it like, is it pure climbing? I'd say so. Like, third on Paso del Stelvio, like, you don't do that if you're a pure puncher. Even though punch results like LBL, 15 that race, Belvedere, 15 that race. So, yeah, combination between climber and punchy type, I'd say more climber at this point, though. Rutkin Gray and Nerurkar, those are two British signings. I was shocked when Nerurkar was signed by EF and not from Ineos, right?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised, to be honest. But
what a steal.
Yeah, and Jack Rutkin Gray too. I'm not sure if you mentioned from Sampdoria. So I like all those four Neo-Pros quite a lot, actually. And they also have Yuhi Todome from the development team, Japanese rider. He's got some pretty decent results in Japan as well. He did Lavernier. So he's not a bad rider. Obviously,
he
the
just
team,
won't move the needle.
He won't move the needle, but they're sponsored by Nippo.
And I don't hate more Asian representation in world.
Yeah, I think it's fine. He pays for himself. So, and he's on a Neo Pro contract. And he's not like, he's not terrible, you know? Like he...
Yeah.
He's domestic. I think 21 years old. Happy to see, as you said, different riders in World Tour. Then they got Yardi Christian van der Lee, another Neo Pro. He's sort of got. He looks like a Julius Vandenberg replacement, from what I can see. Sort of Miss Classics results. Who else have I not mentioned? That's everybody. That's everybody.
Michael Bolocki, did you mention him?
I didn't. This one's just strange. This one's just completely strange.
Oh, so look early? You mean?
Look at his results, Benji.
I think he's like, just too early.
Yeah, like...
I reckon he's a solid junior rider. Like, he's delivering nonsense.
Of course he's a solid junior rider.
I think his inheritance probably helped, as in, like, his family probably of Joseba Bellocchi. So that helped here. But that being said, if this guy was 2 years longer in like, U23 circuit and so forth, junior circuit... Then he might have made it to World Tour anyway. So I'm not saying it's because of that he's coming to World Tour. I just feel like it's early. I feel like he should have been at a U23 team before he goes to World Tour.
Of course. Like, he hasn't... Every time he rode outside of Spain this year, he got whacked. Like, I'm not saying the Spanish races are worthless, but to go to skip U23 to go World Tour when they have a dev team, bear in mind...
Makes no sense to me.
I would. You'd like to see more than a DNF in the World Champs road race or the Europeans road race. Usually, the guy that used to do this won them by 7 minutes. So, I don't understand that at all. Maybe he'll come out and be like the best GC 19-year-old ever. But you compare his readiness to race in World Tour compared to someone like Archie Ryan, 4 years older than him, is also a Neo Pro.
So
it's like
different.
It's like apples and oranges, you know? Like, so that makes absolutely
apples
no sense.
Apples and oranges? Is that the English expression? In Belgium, it's apples and pear.
Really?
Yeah.
Apples and pears are kind of similar. Apples and oranges
and
are completely different. You guys have completely butchered that. Apples and pears are very similar. Apples and oranges are very dissimilar. So
no, the shape is completely different.
Yeah, but
apples
the taste
are
profile.
Round. Oranges are round. Pears are not round.
They are round. They just got a longer top.
Depends on which pears you take.
You guys are messed that up.
You guys are messed up.
So their signings are mostly young and cheap, and then Kosh is kind of the maybe cheaper than Magnus Cort Grand Tour stage win replacement. And I don't know what Valgren's on. Valgren's kind of a unique situation. So as I say, a lot of the years, I like a lot of the neopros they've signed. I like them. But we'll see if they can develop them.
Do I believe this transfer season will be moving the needle significantly for the team? Not now, but maybe in the future. Depends on where Nerudkar, Ryan, Rafferty, and Sothov end up. What they can deliver in 3-4 years, I reckon.
I think
then again,
Ryan
I'll probably
is...
have a hot take for one of them.
I think Ryan could be really good and score a lot of points. And yeah, so...
Yeah, but I feel like he's one of those riders where I would expect him to step up. But I don't feel like stepping up in 1 year and directly delivering by...
No.
Yeah, by the dozen, that I don't necessarily see either. And then I think about realistic goals for EF Education, easy post in 2024, and then... Jesus Christ, man. Like, Carapaz podium, Tour de France is your aim, but I think top five is max for him at the moment.
I think you got to shoot for a podium. They've done it before with Uran. That's why they signed him. That's why they're paying him the big bucks. Yeah. So I think you don't pay someone the big bucks for top five. At least I wouldn't myself. So yeah, it has to be top three. And with the stage win too, they have to go for stage wins. I'd like to see Palace maybe do something different, but he's doing the classics. So how does that combine with the Giro? Not that well, maybe. I don't know, probably the tours. I'd maybe like to see Paulus, frankly, skip the tour and do the classics, hill classics, break, some 1 weeks that are suitable, like Renewi Tour or something, and
Cobble
prepare
Hill
for
classic,
and the Vuelta. Yeah, I want to see him do like Cobble Hill classics, Ardennes classics, and then target a soft Suisse or something like that, break, altitude Vuelta, or renew, oh, or something like that. But then he could also do Canadian Classics.
But.
And Worlds and Olympics.
Do you really reckon they won't send them to the Tour de France?
I wouldn't send Palace to the Tour de France.
I would.
There's too many races that suit him that they need him for.
Yeah. I agree.
And that includes the Olympics and Worlds, which he is really good for both of them.
Don't you send them to a Romandy too?
Yeah, that'll
Catalunya and Basque are a bit early with the classic.
No.
Paris-Nice this year?
Yeah, Paris-Nice this year is a joke parkour. That suits him a lot. He should do Paris-Nice before the classics.
Are you saying only joke parkour is fit for Nelson Paula? Such an insult.
No, it's a Tej Benoit Paris-Nice parkour.
Okay.
And so it suits him a lot. Jorgensen
Paula's fight off.
Yeah, I think it suits Palace maybe even more.
Or am I dumb?
I don't know. Sivakov's doing it with...
Not a user.
Almeida, maybe. And there's a TTT with EF, a very good time trial setup and very good TTT team. So he can, I think, Paris-Nice, and he should definitely go for that. That's a good point that you made, Benji. So that's sort of, other realistic goals. Yeah, win a stage in all three Grand Tours. Maybe Kosh to go to the Giro to go for that. They don't have a... do they have a sprinter on the roster?
Martin Vandenberg, I guess.
Yeah, maybe go to the Giro to win a stage because he's not good enough to go to the Tour yet.
Yeah, I reckon. But, I feel like this team has the riders to deliver an Israel 2023-style Baradur team to the Giro.
Yeah.
But you're going to be fighting with Wout van Aert in the breakaway, so good luck.
Do you roll it back with Healy or do you send Healy to the Tour?
I'll send Healy to... Problem at the Tour is that GC is so aggressive that there's limited breakaway stage in my head anymore. So
I think you should go Vuelta and then figure it back from there. Ardennes
If you only do Vuelta with Ardennes, the 1 week races, like you have mentioned before, have limited breakaway opportunities. So I feel like he needs to do two Grand Tours.
I think he can go for...
Don't you want to send them to, like, Italian Classic?
Yeah, I do.
And more than the two that he did?
I would try and figure it out with, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to take a rider so good who you need for big one day races, and send him to a Grand Tour, as you say, where there might be limited opportunities, and where, you know, if he gets into a Tour breakaway, I'm sorry, but there's some better guys in there than he was up against in the Giro, and but Foss on Bronis stage, he was unbelievable. Like, he was faster than GC Group, but then he didn't win another one. Because there's guys like McNulty at the Tour, there's guys like Martinez and Classics, Pedersen, Asgreen, whoever. I think if I was them, I would try to win probably 7 World Tour races, and I would try and win a World Tour Classic, just a World Tour one-day race. I think that is very achievable, whether it's Dwars Door, whether it's Britannia Classic, World Tour one-day race, Strada Bianca, Amstel, especially with maybe no Poggi at Amstel and a soft Jumbo squad at the Ardennes.
Yeah.
So I think that should be a goal. A stage win in all 3 Grand Tours and podium with Carapaz in the Tour. And then hopefully the points. I think the points should sort themselves out. Any hot takes for you, Benji, or World Tour over-unders?
Let's start with World Tour over-unders. Are you saying 7 as well, or is that your aim for them?
I'll say 7, yeah. I think they hit their goal that I set for them just now.
Okay. I forgot how many World Tour victories they had in 2023. 4?
4.
I reckon they'll go for... I'm going with 4 again, I'm afraid. I just don't see a major move that could significantly increase that.
Carapaz not being injured.
Koshta is a bet.
Yep.
Carapaz could win a Polonia stage if he goes there again. Like, he can win a Grand Tour stage, but only if his GC sucks. So he'd need to fall out of GC to do that, which is realistic because Carapaz is all or nothing sometimes in GC the way he attacks. So actually, I'm gonna go for how many victories do I have left? I gotta start thinking now, eh? Because we just did the Astana podcast and I forgot how many I did. 23 minus. I'm gonna go with 5 Welter victories for yet.
Okay, 5, you say.
That leaves a few for Israel and Lotto to pick up.
Yeah.
And Koratek Markkanen to become nuclear again.
They scored in 2021 11 and 2022 3 and 2019 they scored 6. So my 7, I reckon I'm happy with that. I think. But it's hard to win if you don't have a sprinter. It's hard to win a lot of World Tour races with no one that can sprint on the roster. Okay, hot takes.
Okay, hot take is... What do you reckon the schedule of someone like Nerurkar will look like? Probably, probably a Bartali and Silvio.
Yeah.
Meh. Probably won't get much out of that. I'm going to go with... Valgren podiums Amstel. Is that a hot take after his injury return?
Yes, that's the hottest take you've ever said. What the fuck?
There we go.
I'm going to go with an Archie Ryan related one just to put my money where my mouth is because I've been talking him up. I'm trying to think. Yeah?
Paulus podium Zuri.
It's not that hot. He was the strongest rider in Leuven.
Fucking hell. Come on. Give me something.
I'll give it to you. What's the schedule? Archie Ryan wins TDU next week.
Not impossible. Too bad Luke Blapp is there.
Is there a corkscrew? There's no corkscrew. That's where he'd get the separation, It's paramount, though.
Is Spingy not hard enough?
Willunga.
Is Willunga Hill not hard enough?
3K, 10%. It's good for Blapp.
Too bad, huh?
I think Ryan wins a World Tour 1 week. I'll knock it down. He could win Guangxi on one leg. This guy.
Probably.
Yeah, so that's my hot take. Ryan wins a World Tour 1 week, which they're not easy to win those. Okay, that's our EF Education Easy Post preview. It's I don't know who will perform next year. They got a lot of riders out of contract the year after. Chavez, Uran, Bediol, Bissiger, Cepeda, Carr, Piccolo, Rutsch, Quinn, Steinhauser, Shaw, I might have said, Tabod, Vandenberg. So it could be a lot of turnover, could be some extensions, I don't know. But thanks for listening as always, and I don't know what we're back with next, Benji. Make sure you to follow us on Twitter. Lantern Rouge Cycle Podcast on Twitter. Yeah, maybe Santos Stood Down Under wrap up. But follow us on Twitter for updates on scheduling, etc. But hope you enjoyed all these men's team previews, and we'll see you soon. Ciao.